Well, thank you, worship team. That was great. I don't know how long that water's been sitting there, but I tell you, it's not fresh. Probably there from last week. Well, I'm going to take off my jacket now. Pastor Jeremy, when he came this morning, he was wearing a suit jacket, and I wasn't going to wear one, so I wore it for him, and now I'm taking it off for me, because I'm preaching now. Great. That way you can distinguish between my filling in and the real thing. So, sorry, that doesn't make sense. Former Yankee and Hall of Fame baseball player Yogi Berra has often been quoted as saying this: life, now listen carefully, life is like baseball. It's 95% mental and the other half is physical. Now while the math may not be perfect, you still don't get a raise. I'm sorry. Is that like that way? I know you're trying, but now that's fresh. That's really good stuff. That's thank you, Pastor Christine. That's awesome. Well, Yogi Berra's math is not perfect. He understands that the power that thinking has in a person's life every day. The way we think, how we think, every day affects not just those around us, but also it affects what's going on inside of us. So we've been walking through a Living Life series over the summer, and I believe we all need it. Amen? Today I want to look at, and this is our final in the series, I want to look at a foundation that needs to become part of our thinking every day. A simple formula for success, and while there is not math involved, the promise for a great attitude is very powerful. So I'd like you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to look at these verses, verse 1 and 2. Ephesians chapter 5. I'll read to you from the New International Version. It says, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Very simple, only two verses. But living life with a great attitude is so important. See, living life with a great attitude requires, first of all, right thinking. Living life with a great attitude requires, first of all, right thinking. You know what? You have to watch what you're doing over and over and over again. You know why? If what you're doing over and over and over and over and over is not something good and positive in your life, it's still going to become part of you, even though it's something that's bad. Like if you look further up, in fact, this passage, Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, they say, a lot of commentators that say that actually it belongs in chapter 4, because it applies more to chapter 4 of Ephesians 4 than it does with the rest of chapter 5. And so if you jump up in Ephesians chapter 4 and look at verse 23, it says, "To be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." You know, we say that practice makes perfect. Well, be careful what you're practicing. If you're always negative about something, you will adapt to always being negative about that one thing. If you just don't feel good about someone, negative about them, you'll never see good in that person ever. Be careful what you're practicing. If you're always critical, That's what you practice. If you're always judging people, that's what you practice. If you're a bully, if you're an angry person, if you're a self-centered person, if you're a gossip, that's what you practice. And you'll try and you'll try and you will try so desperately to defend your negative thoughts. You will. You know, Devin's getting angry. Don't get angry, Devin. Don't get angry. Well, I'm not really getting angry. I'm just telling you. Don't just tell me then. Don't get angry. No, really, I'm just telling you. I'm letting you know this is as much for you as it is for me. Start defending our negative way of thinking. That's what Satan's able to do if he gets into a thinking. If you want to live with a great attitude, let God get into your thinking. Start your day with God. Begin your day by thinking on purpose, purposefully. Colossians 3 says, set your minds and keep them set on things above. Set your minds and keep them set on things above. In other words, keep your minds, for those of you who have some, you know, keep your minds carefully, positively thinking spiritually. It doesn't say God will do that for us. It doesn't say God's going to let you, he's going to give you everything you think. It says that we're responsible for how we think. If you're not, let me explain. If you're not setting your mind on the things above, the things of Christ, then you're not going to be happy. Now that was easy, wouldn't it? Where'd you get that? Because there's a lot of unhappy folks in the kingdom.
I'm a Christian. I love the Lord.
They're blaming the devil. They're blaming on this.
I'd be so happy if it wasn't for this. Oh, my. We are forever.
And it's everybody's fault around them. A lot of it is caused by just the way that we think on things. It's the stuff we think on. People are fret, people are fear, full of judgment, full of suspicion. Can I tell you about something that will just make you so miserable you can hardly stand it anymore? In fact, you want me to tell you the one thing? The one thing that will make you so miserable in this life, that's thinking about yourself all the time. Everyone hear me say that? Thinking about yourself. You repeat that with me? If I think about myself all the time, okay, I got four people. If I think about myself all the time, I will be miserable. If you get that and nothing else this morning, it's worth you being here. What was that? What was that? You all want to go home now, don't you? If you have yourself on your mind all the time, you will be miserable. But if you will get other people on your mind and figure out a way to bless other people on your mind, and you will keep that on your mind, that is setting your mind on right things, and that will bring you life. I'm told over and over again in the Bible that if we have ourself on our mind all the time, that's just going to suck the life out of us. You want to try that, don't you? Every time you catch yourself sitting around with what I call ingenious eyeballage syndrome. You know, ingrown eyeballs, always thinking about me, poor me, what about me? You know, little violin, me. It's not what I want. You're not thinking about me. When's somebody going to do something for me? See, we do this so well. We lay in bed in the morning thinking what people aren't doing for us. Your spouse? Oh boy, I'd be so happy if she would just do that. Why isn't she doing that? Why didn't that happen last night? Why, you know, why didn't she? I wanted that meal. She. My kids? Oh, I'm so exasperated. Oh. You know, they didn't listen to me. I said, mow the lawn. He said, there's no gas. I said, walk and get it. I don't understand. Person that hurt me, that person sure doesn't like me. That person, I don't like that person. That person is that person. This situation, that's the enemy making sure that you are going to think about yourself all day long. When you start your day thinking about all that junk, you're just getting wound up for the day. Isn't that amazing that good thoughts don't just fall on your head when you first wake up? I mean, you can have one problem. You can have 10 things that are going great, just fantastic. But as soon as you gain consciousness in the morning, the first thing, as soon as you wake, all the bad stuff, you're going, that one bad thing is on your mind. And the 10 good things don't come to you. It's that one problem that falls on you. It falls on you, it falls over you, it falls under you, and it overtakes you for the rest of the day. I mean, let's face it. Satan wants you to think of anything else. He wants your focus to be on anything else other than God and what God can do for you and what God can do to you if you think of the right things. When we set our mind on purpose, when we set our mind on the right things, we are imitators of God. We imitate the things of God when we think of the right things. Are you thinking the right things this morning? See, the space between your two ears is there for a reason. Use it. The Message Bible puts Ephesians 5:1 this way. Watch what God does, and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. I'm sorry. Just thinking about my children learning from me. Singer Roberta Flack recalls this. My mother had only gone as far as the 10th grade, and my father had a third grade education, but they both were very literate. They spoke well, and their values were high. And she goes on, she says, they drummed into our heads that the situation you live in doesn't have to live in you. Ephesians 4:23, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. Our attitudes don't come from circumstances. They don't come from personal history. Attitude does not come from outside ourselves. It comes from within, right in here. The direction we set our mind in is the direction we're going to go. And I prefer to go on the right things. Amen? Living life with a great attitude requires excellent thinking, but it also requires extravagant love. Extravagant love. How are we going to be imitators like Christ? What are we to do? I love the way the Message Bible puts this. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, it says, mostly what God does is love you. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with Him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love is not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of Himself to us. Love like that. Just as children imitate their parents, we should imitate Christ. His great love for us led Him to sacrifice Himself so that we might live. Our love for others should be of the same kind. A love that goes beyond affection to self-sacrificing service. You're not going to be happy if you have yourself on your mind. I'm not going to be happy if I have myself on my mind. Let me tell you this morning. There is nothing that provides a greater attitude than demonstrating the sacrificial, other-serving love of Jesus Christ. Because that is so opposite to the world. We're to be agents who love through our service. We love through grace. We love through sacrifice.
R.C. Sproul said, our job is to make the invisible reign of Jesus visible. Our job is to make the invisible reign of Jesus visible. When people look at you, do they see Jesus? Or are you getting in the way? There's a great statement. You may have heard it before. Bears repeating. I'm going to read it to you. Watch your thoughts, because they become your words. Watch your words, because they become your actions. Watch your actions, because they become your habits. Watch your habits, because they become your character. Watch your character, for it will become your destiny. See, our thoughts determine the outcome of our life. We talked about getting our mindset in the morning, laying in bed, making sure that we say some things on purpose, thinking some things on purpose. You need to be saying some things in your life that are positive. Not speaking fear, but speaking faith. The way you think will determine your attitude. It's a posture that we take. In fact, an attitude means the proper posture taken. In other words, if someone is checking me out at the grocery store, and this just happened the other day, you know, they're checking me out, I'm going through the line, and you know, it's slow, and the lady's slow at the checkout. They're not fast enough. And I go like this. I haven't even opened my mouth. But that doesn't matter, because they know. They know, because my body language is saying, you're irritating me, I could be much faster than you are. See, and this happens all the time, no matter where we are. People are watching you to see how you react to situations. I fail so many times in this, believe me. I do. It's something, an attitude is something that is right here in our heart, but it shows, it either comes out in our words, or it comes out in our action, or even in our lack of action. It tells you something about the heart when we don't like the way something's done, and oh, I'll show them. Ooh, you just wait. You just wait. And the Apostle Paul, he cautions the believer. He says the believer about how we walk and how we talk. We need to reflect God's grace, God's gracious presence in us. How can we praise God and remind others of his goodness when we're speaking wrongly about other people? When we're attacking other people? See, we can have good attitudes or we can have bad attitudes. It's our choice. Our thoughts are the raw material for attitudes. Good thoughts are fed, they're kept alive by good thoughts. Bad attitudes are fed, they're kept alive by bad thoughts. You can think great things about your spouse, you can feed on those good points, or you can feed all the negative stuff about your spouse. You can think wonderful things about your children, or you can feed on the bad stuff that has caused defeat for you, challenged you so many times with your kids. You choose. They don't choose how you respond with your heart. You do. You can think positive things about your coworker, choose to bless them, or you can go out of your way to make their life miserable. But I tell you right now that if you are not loving other people with the grace and love of Jesus Christ, you are not an imitator of God. And if you're not an imitator of God, your attitude is stuck on you.
You don't like the idea, sorry. Apologize. No, I don't. I tell you this morning, I'm preaching to myself. I'm telling myself this too. Instead of trying to look for things and other people to do to please you, you better start looking for ways to please Jesus Christ. And soon your desire for what other people should do to make you happy won't matter anymore, because what matters to Jesus is much greater for your life. Because all you're thinking about is him. Comedian Jerry Lewis reported to have said that the best wedding gift he ever received was a film of the entire wedding ceremony. Ah, oh, isn't that sweet? Wonder why that was his favorite gift. Well, he said it was because when things got really bad in the marriage, he would go into a room by himself, close the door, run the film backwards, and walk out a free man. Attitude. See, our thoughts get in the way of where we need to be. We've got to protest. All the things every day that we pray to keep us happy. Like, oh Lord, oh Father God, I don't get married this year, God. I don't think I keep on going. Well, I'm married, God, and if you don't change my spouse, I just can't hang on anymore. Oh please, God, if I don't have children, I just can't stand it. Oh, to have a baby. Oh, God, if this baby doesn't stop crying, I don't think I can take it anymore. God, I need a bigger house. I need a bigger home. I'm tired of living in this crowded shack. I need more room. Oh, Lord, how can anybody be expected to keep this house so large clean? Face facts, we come and we say things that we need to make us happy. Stuff is not going to keep us happy. What people do to us is not going to keep us happy. Let me tell you, I have Jesus. He's our living bread. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the end. He is our living drink. There is nothing else, no one else. There is no other name, only Jesus. Only Jesus. And when it's only Jesus, let me assure you, your attitude is on purpose. You think right, you live longer no longer for yourself, you live for other people. Your desire is to serve, your desire is to encourage, your desire is to change, your desire is to show and demonstrate extravagant love wherever you go. Your need to cultivate that desire for the things of Jesus, you need that every day. Every day. It said that Earl Weaver, one-time manager of Major League Baseball's Baltimore Orioles, when he was unhappy with a call that was made by an umpire, and he used to charge out onto the dugout, and he'd stomp as he's going, and he would shout at this umpire, "Are you going to get any better, or is this it?" If you want to change your attitude, you need to ask yourself a similar question. Are you going to keep working and trying to get better, or is this as good as it gets? I have to tell you how wonderful it is to know that I can make a decision. I can control how I feel about every day. I can choose how I think about others. I can choose to serve, I can choose to love, I can choose to encourage, I can choose to change. What a comfort to know that I can choose. Amen? I mean, this morning wasn't an easy morning. Oh, that's so good, Christine. That's great. Because Catherine had called me and Jeremy was already at the church and getting ready for this morning. So we came and I talked to Jeremy about his mom's passing away, and that wasn't easy. It was a shock. And yet we choose every day to serve him. Editor and publisher Albert Hubbard says, "Be pleasant until 10 a.m., and the rest of the day will take care of itself." You get up in the morning, you need to remind yourself of the decision you made to imitate, to be an imitator of God, to have a positive attitude, to love even the unlovable. You need to think right, direct your actions so that they are consistent with your decision, and only then will you enjoy living life with a great attitude every day of your life. But you don't understand. I didn't get the I do understand. But wait a minute, I don't like, I do understand. Every day. I invite you to close your Bibles and listen. I'm going to tell you one final story. And I hope you get this. There once was a woman who woke up one morning, looked in the mirror, and noticed she had only 3 hairs on her head. Well, she said, I think I'll braid my hair today. So she did, and she had a wonderful day. Next day she woke up, she looked in the mirror and saw that she had only 2 hairs on her head. She said, I think I'll part my hair down the middle today. So she did, and she had a great day. Next day she woke up, she looked in the mirror and noticed that she had only 1 hair on her head. Well, she said, today I'm going to wear my hair in a ponytail. And so she did. She had a fun day. The next day she woke up, looked in the mirror, and noticed that there wasn't a single hair on her head. Yay, she exclaimed, I don't have to fix my hair today. Attitude is everything. It's everything. Be kinder than necessary. Live simply, love generously, care deeply, speak kindly. Let God do the rest. I'm going to close with this passage out of the Message Bible. I invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes as I read. Watch what God does, and then you do it like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed, I'm going to ask you this morning, are you willing to say, all right, I've got to start some right thinking. I've got to start thinking properly. I got to start loving right. I got to start not thinking about myself so much, and I got to start thinking about others for a change. I got to stop being critical. I've got to stop being judgmental. I just got to stop being focused on my wants and desires, and I got to start thinking about others, because that's the love of Jesus. And if you're coming to him that way this morning and saying, Lord, I just want that great attitude. I want that great attitude. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed, just lift your head if you're saying, I want that great attitude, Lord, that attitude that we talked about. Lord, bless you. 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 God sees. God sees all. Maybe here this morning, and you've heard about Jesus Christ, but you never knew how much he loved you, that he would die on the cross for all the bad stuff you've done. And you've never given your heart over to him, as maybe your friends have talked to you about, or you've never placed your trust in him. You've never given your life of faith to him and said, I believe in you. This morning you have the opportunity to come to Jesus Christ and say, I ask you, Lord Jesus, to forgive me of all the bad stuff I've done in my life, and I give you my heart today. I want to be a Christian. I want to be a Christian. I give you my heart today. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed, just lift your head if you're saying that to him this morning. I give you my heart, Lord. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. Father God, we know that there is no other name but the name of Jesus. So we come, we gather, we proclaim that name. Lord, while circumstances tend to want to grab a hold of us, and problems tend to get in the way, Lord, we only trust in you. And may we find ourselves so faithful that we would love others, not criticize, and not talk about, not be afraid of, but may we love and bless others the way you love and bless us.
God, that's what you've called us to do. What a great attitude. May we walk with that attitude today to the glory and the honor of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.